today as we come to the table.
It appears here that although Jacob didn't pursue what many would think of the typical manly things, he still appears to be no less of a man, only with different desires. And the thing to note here and to point out the main difference between the two, and again, there was nothing wrong in their personalities and what they liked. There's nothing wrong in him, Esau, liking hunting and being a sportsman type guy. And there was nothing wrong with Jacob, you know, being the way he was. The key here that we need to note in this passage is that Jacob leaned toward the things of God while Esau leaned toward the things of the world. And where we need to challenge ourselves is, where do we lean? Are we leaning toward the things of God? Or are we leaning toward the things of the world?
Everyone has a choice of what they put their focus on. Do you focus on God or on the world? The answer is simple in word, but can be more difficult than what we think in deed. Today, Pastor Mark's going to show you the example of two brothers who each chose differently for themselves and what happened as a result. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table. The Daily Bible Study Program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. To choose God as the focus of your life over the world is a life of blessing and joy, a joy the world can't take away. When you focus on the world, you'll always be in want and always in search of something to fill the void you feel that only God can fill. He's the one source of joy that's eternal, that never fades. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Genesis, chapter 25, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
Genesis chapter 25, as we finish up chapter 25 today. And last week we ended in verse 23, so we're going to cover verses 24 through 34. Let's just read it together. Notice, so when her days were fulfilled for her to give birth, indeed there were twins in her womb, and the first came out red, and he was like a hairy garment all over. So they called him Esau. And afterwards, his brother came out, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel, so his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 60 years old when she bore him. So the boys grew, and Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field. But Jacob was a mild man, dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his game. But Rebekah loved Jacob. Now Jacob cooked a stew, and Esau came in from the field, and he was weary. And Esau said to Jacob, "Please feed me with that same red stew, for I am weary." And therefore his name was called Edom. But Jacob said, "Sell me your birthright as of this day." And Esau said, "Look, I'm about to die. So what is this birthright to me?" And then Jacob said, "Swear to me as of this day." So he swore to him, and he sold his birthright to Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and stew of lentils, and he ate and drank, arose and went his way. And thus Esau despised his birthright. I've entitled the message, Two Brothers, Two Choices, Two Destinies. And that almost sums up the entire teaching. You know, our life is filled with choices. We all make choices every day. Matter of fact, all of you made choices this morning. What are you going to wear? You know, what are you going to do when you got up this morning? You had to make choices. And so our life is filled with making choices. But this is nowhere so important as it is in the spiritual realm. Because the choices we make in the spirit compared to the fleshly realm are going to affect not only our life down here, but they're going to affect us eternally. And so it's so important as we look at today's passage that we have burned in our heart the importance of making the right choices, and those choices realizing how they affect our destiny. Now, today we look at two brothers, Jacob and Esau, and note this about them. Both have the same parents, both have the same upbringing, they have the same environment, but they're going to end up with very different destinies and stories. And it's all based on this one factor, the choices they made throughout their life. And so sometimes we think that, you know, it's a small choice, it doesn't affect me that much. But every choice affects us, especially when it comes to choices of things of the spirit or things of the flesh. And so simply stated, they both made choices in their life about what was important and their priorities. And based on those priorities is where they ended up in their life. Now, When I say they lived, one lived according to the spirit, one lived according to the flesh. That is, Esau lived according to the flesh, Jacob lived according to the spirit. What do I mean? Well, I think it's pretty easy when it comes to the spirit part. We know that. That means he lived for the things of God. Now, I know that we think, well, wait a minute, Jacob was a deceiver, and we're going to see that twice in this passage today. But the bottom line is, Jacob still had a heart toward the things of God. He may have struggled with deceit, but he had a heart after the things of God. Now, some of you, you have a heart after the things of God. Many of you do, but you struggle in certain areas. That doesn't mean you're not trying to follow the Lord and do what God wants you to do. So it doesn't make you necessarily ungodly. You just have struggles. That was Jacob. He had a struggle with deception, but Jacob had a heart after the things of the Lord. That's following the Spirit. Esau, on the other hand, had a heart after the things of the flesh. And the things of the flesh means the things of this world. What this world can bring, what this world has to offer. And let me say this, there's nothing wrong in enjoying what this world has to offer. And in one sense, the Bible says God has given us all things richly to enjoy, so we can enjoy what God has given us in the world. The problem is when our priorities are out of order and our priorities become the things of the world being more important than the priority being the things of the Spirit. And note this, this affects not only, as I said here, but our eternity. Now, I know we hear that, but let's let that sink down into our heart. The things that you do today based on how you're going to live your life are going to affect not only whether or not you get into the kingdom of God, but once you get in there, it's going to affect the reward you have or the lack thereof. I mean, this is an important thing that we need to take to heart. And so, again, Jacob and Esau really in Scripture are a picture of the difference between the flesh and the spirit. And we're going to see that Esau's life, following after the things of the flesh, ends, you know, very tragic in many areas. And Jacob, although he had his struggles because he put the things of God in proper priority, you know, he was blessed. And he had not only temporary reward for it, but he had eternal reward. Now, I think that sometimes we think that living it up and going for all the gusto we can down here is the way to get the most out of life, because we've never truly experienced, many of us, what it means to really live in the Spirit. Now, if you've given your life to the Lord, you know what it's like to have spiritual blessing. But to truly give yourself over to the Spirit, the Bible says that's where life is. Jesus said that, you know, the flesh was death, but the Spirit is life. And so we have to lose our life to find what true life is. And I think that a lot of times we've never tasted that because we haven't allowed God to work in our life that way because of the fleshly aspect we've allowed into our life. And so we don't know what we're missing. You know, before I came to the Lord, the flesh is all I knew. And I went for it. All the gusto, right? All the things you see in the TV commercials and everything else. You know, get all you can out of life. And I think that as believers, we can still live a very go-for-it life and get a lot out of life. But the priority difference is living according to the Spirit rather than living according to the flesh. And I can tell you this, the flesh never satisfied me. And I know that you know that as well. If you try to pursue the flesh, it doesn't satisfy. It leaves empty. And yet, well, the things of the Spirit satisfy our heart. They satisfy our spirit and give us contentment. And that is what Jacob found and what Esau was missing. And maybe what you might be missing if you're trying to find satisfaction in the things of the flesh. You know, the flesh gives a temporary fling. The Bible says that sin is fun for a season, but in the end, it leads to darkness and death. And that is sadly what Esau found. Now, remember the setting here. God telling Rebecca what was going on. Remember, she'd gotten pregnant and there was this problem. She didn't know what was happening, but they were actually fighting within her womb. She had twins, Jacob and Esau, not knowing yet she had twins. And they're in there having a fight. Now, it's bad enough dealing with kids outside the womb. You can imagine fighting inside. And so now she's got this thing going on and she goes to God and says, all right, what's going on? And God speaks to her and says, you have two nations and they have very different drives, very different direction. And so they're fighting right now. They're going to continue to fight throughout their history. And he says, notice this, at the end of verse 23, the older shall serve the younger. Now that was unheard of in that culture. The older, the younger always served the older. It was called receiving the birthright. It was called receiving that natural, you know, blessing, the inheritance of just being the older child. And yet God tells her off the bat, the younger one is going to be the one that's in the position of authority, even though they're born in a different order. And notice verse 24, it says, so when her days were fulfilled to give birth, indeed there were twins in her womb. Now again, remember, at this point, she had just been told by the Lord that there were, and I'm sure she believed that, but now she sees it for herself. There's twins. And notice this, the first one came out red. This is amazing. He was like a hairy garment all over. Now, I've seen kids born with a lot of hair, but this kid had hair all over at birth. I mean, notice this, he was hairy all over. And it says, so they called his name Esau. Now, interesting enough, Esau means literally hairy. That's what it means. Now, again, they would name children oftentimes after the characteristic to do with something, you know, around their birth, either before or during or after. So he comes out and there's this big, you know, red hairy ball of, you know, just whatever. And they name him Harry. I mean, I can't imagine coming out with hair all over him. This is the kind of kid that is like shaving by the first grade, you know? I mean, he's we're talking some serious, you know, testosterone going here in this kid. And we're going to see that he is. He's a man's man. You know, he's dad's boy. You know, he comes out and he's got hair all over him. And he's going to have another name they're going to give him in a minute because of the stew that he wants, you know, Red, you know. And this might be the kind of guy in school, you know, Big Red. Here he is. This is Big Red, you know. And so starting out at his birth, this guy's already this, you know, real manly man. And so notice it says, and afterward, his brother came out and his hand took hold of Esau's heel. Now, remember the fight they had going on in the womb. It doesn't stop. He comes out and grabs a hold of him like, not so fast, buddy. You know, he says, how did you get born before I did? They're fighting, you know, from the very beginning. And so his name was called Jacob, which again, remember, Esau is hairy. Jacob grabs his heel. Guess what Jacob means? Heel catcher. And so again, how would you like it if your parents named you something after, you know, what you were born or whatever, you know, and you know, you'd hope it's something good, right? You know, what's your name mean? I don't want to tell you. Well, these guys, Harry and Heel Catcher, you know, as they come out, and Isaac was 60 years old when she bore them. So again, you know, they're still fighting once they come out of the womb. This thing, you know, goes on and throughout their life, they fight until they get a lot older. And so now we see this whole thing falling into place. Now it's interesting here about Jacob being called heel catcher, because this is really very symbolic of undermining and supplanting others. A heel catcher was known as someone who would trip you up to get your position. You know, it's maybe the kind of person in line, you know, at school, you're walking down the hall and they kick one foot behind the other, you know, so they can make you trip and get around you or whatever. That was the type of life that characterized Jacob in his younger years. He was trying to undermine and supplant. And we're going to see that he did this, and not only in his early life, but by the end of this passage, as they had grown older, he's still doing it, grabbing his brother's heel at birth and then tricking his brother out of the birthright when they get older. And again, we're going to see one of the characteristics of Jacob that we need to guard ourselves against, and that is trying to help God out. Remember, we saw this with Sarah. Sarah tried to help God out and got him in a lot of trouble. And now we see Jacob trying to help God out, and it's going to get him in a lot of trouble. And what do I mean by that? Well, God had promised at the end of verse 23 that he was going to be in the position of authority. He was going to be the one that would get the birthright. He obviously desired the things of the spirit, as we're going to see Esau desired the things of the flesh. God, knowing that, made the promise of the birthright to Jacob. And no doubt Rebekah had told Jacob that as he was growing. You know, when you guys were in the womb, you were fighting, and I sought the Lord, and God said that you're going to be the leader of the family. And so he knew this, and yet rather than waiting on the Lord to do it, we're going to see that later on he tries to help God out, and that's always a mistake to make. And so my encouragement to us is, when God has made a promise to you and you know that God is working in your life, wait on the Lord. God's going to do it in his timing, and God's going to do it in his way, and it's a lot better to wait on the Lord than try to make things happen in our own ability. And so notice in verse 27, so the boys grew, and Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field. Didn't that just describe, you know, Big Red in your mind? You know, he's the linebacker, you know, on the football team, you know, and he's hunting, you know, during hunting season. And, you know, again, this is the kind of guy wearing deodorant in kindergarten. I mean, this is a tough guy, all right? And so he's known as a man of the field, you know, dad's son. Dad, but that's my boy, Big Red, you know. But notice this, but Jacob was a mild man dwelling in tents. Now, this can be deceiving at first. And I think we need to take note of this, again, because it speaks of Esau as being the rough and tough man of the field. We would say a sportsman. You know, he's the guy that was the sportsman of the family. And it says Jacob was a mild man dwelling in the tents. And we need to be careful that just because it says he was mild and dwelled around the tent doesn't mean that he was necessarily a mama's boy and not a man. Now, that's how I've pictured it over the years when I've just read through this passage. Because it made such a big deal about Esau being the man's man. In my mind, Jacob must have been a mama's boy. Well, not necessarily. And it's interesting here. I think that's a wrong assumption to make. It doesn't say that Jacob was any less manly. That just wasn't his bent. He wasn't, you know, into the hunting. He wasn't into the sports. He wasn't into, you know, all these things. They had different personalities. And it's interesting here. The word mild, when it refers to Jacob, literally means perfect or complete, sound, wholesome, or morally innocent. Now, why do I note that? Because this is the same word used to describe Job in his standing with God. It says that Job as well was a mild man. In other words, he was morally upright. It gives a picture of a man who has his heart after the things of God, a man who has his heart after the things of the Spirit. Now, again, I know it's easy to point out his failures and his tendency toward being deceptive and taking things in his own hand, but it doesn't mean that he wasn't a man of God and wasn't seeking the things of God. And so it appears here that although Jacob didn't pursue what many would think of the typical manly things, he still appears to be no less of a man, only with different desires. And the thing to note here and to point out the main difference between the two, and again, there was nothing wrong in their personalities and what they liked. There's nothing wrong in him, Esau, liking hunting and being a sportsman type guy. And there was nothing wrong with Jacob, you know, being the way he was. The key here that we need to note in this passage is that Jacob leaned toward the things of God while Esau leaned toward the things of the world. And where we need to challenge ourselves is, where do we lean? Are we leaning toward the things of God? Or are we leaning toward the things of the world? And you might say, well, look, right now I'm leaning toward the things of the world, and I don't really have a desire to lean toward the things of God. You know what? God can change that. All you have to do is acknowledge that and say, God, I want a desire to be after you. I don't want my desire to be more toward sports and more toward, you know, outdoorsman type activities. That's where my heart is, admittedly, God, but that's not where I want it to be. Oh, those things are fine in their proper place, but I want my priorities, God, to be in order. I want you to be first, and then I can add all these things to it. And see, if Esau had simply done that, God would have blessed him and given him a heart after the things of God. And the encouraging thing for us is that if we will simply do that, God will give us a heart after God as well. You know, Jacob was the type, if you have to look at him, and again, I like to make a modern day application to him. Jacob was the type that would get up on Sunday morning and he'd be the type to say, you know what? Maybe he did have his struggles and in the flesh and all, but he says, you know what? I'm going to be there. I'm going to be in fellowship. Esau would be the type to get up and say, hey man, today's beautiful. I'm going fishing. You know, I'm going hunting. I'm going to hit the lake, or I'm going to whatever. There's a game on today. There's a game on. I'll go to church next week or whatever. That was more of a sportsman. Again, nothing wrong in the sportsman type mindset. But with Esau, it was the type that when the flesh had opportunity, it would overrule the things of the spirit. And that's a warning sign to us. If we have those tendencies where things of the flesh begin to overrule the things of the spirit, we need to back up and say, wait a minute, God, I've got my priorities messed up. There's nothing wrong in enjoying those things, but we need to make sure they come in their proper order. You know, again, the Bible teaches that whatever is the most important in our life is our God. Note that. We tend to think of a biblical God as some kind of statue you make. And you say, well, I'm not building any statues. I'm just watching the ball game, you know, or I'm doing this or I'm doing that. We need to make sure that the bottom line is that we're not building idols in our heart. You see, but whatever our master passion is, whatever's the most important to us is our God. And Esau was the type that said, I'm sure he sat through devotions with mom and dad. I'm sure Esau was involved in the spiritual side of things. Whenever Isaac would do a sacrifice, you know, the boys were there. Yeah, he did his part. But the whole time he was more concerned about going to kill the sacrifice than giving it, you know. Again, there was nothing wrong in that desire that he had for that to the sportsman type thing. But it was the heart that's revealed over time here. And see, this is where if he had said, look, Lord, I thank you that you've given me these blessings to do these things, but I'm putting you first, how different would Esau's life have been? And Jacob at the same time is saying, you know what, Lord, I'm going to put you first and not, you know, put other things before you. You know, I've actually known, and I have to share this with you, I actually knew of a family that would be faithful to church all through the year, but when summer came, they did not come one time for 3 months straight because Sunday was their lake day. Now listen, I enjoy the lake like anyone else, and maybe some of you are planning a lake trip today. God bless you. Have a blast at the lake. There's nothing wrong in that. Here's the problem. When that becomes so important that we can squeeze church out and it's not that big a deal, now our priorities are out of order. And rather than having the God of the Bible on the throne, we've got the fish god, Dagon, now taking the place of where God should be. And that's exactly what was happening in Esau's life. Esau was out of order. And because of that, we're going to see that his life stays out of order throughout his life. So again, the birth of the children, notice this, the man of the field, one dwelling in tents, verse 28. And Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his game, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Now, I can understand the temptation here of Isaac loving Esau more because he had everything a man could want. He was a sportsman, right? And he could cook. I mean, how does it get any better than that? He not only turned the game on, he brought the snacks. That would be a modern day application. And you could see how Dan Tarr would say, that's my boy, right? Love it. That's Esau, right? And yet you could see how Jacob would endear Rebekah's wife because it says that Jacob was kind of around the tent, not necessarily unmanly, but hey, if Rebekah needed something moved, you know, honey, could you park the camels over across the street? Or he was always there to help, right? And also the emotional side, you know, talking and all the things that, you know, I mean, you can see how they would have the temptation. But note this, and moms and dads, I warn us, you're going to have some children who have a personality that's more like yours and some children who have a personality that's not as much like yours. And you have to be very careful that you don't begin to show favoritism or love one over the other. And it is a tragic mistake that Rebekah and Isaac made here. And I think it affected Esau's life. You see, when you do this, it not only affects the child as far as pain in their heart, but it affects the way they see their brother and sister. They know mom likes that one better. They know dad likes that one better, whatever the case might be. And it causes problems. It causes favoritism. And we need to guard ourselves to make sure that we don't do this. It's very disheartening to a child when a parent or grandparent shows more favor to other children than to them because it says, I love the others better. Now, note this. You might say, yes, but my personality is more like that child or more like this one, or I can talk to them easier. Biblical love is a choice. It's not a feeling. And it's important that we choose to love all of our children the same. And I think although most parents naturally love all their children, I think sometimes there can be some things that you like more about other children than in others. And so you need to make sure that you guard yourself against that. You know, the last thing I want to do is have my girls growing up thinking, well, dad liked, you know, her more than me or whatever the case might be. I want to say, no, dad was the same. And why is this important? Because that's how our father is. You see, right now we have the Heavenly Father and He loves each of us the same. He doesn't love one of us more than the other. Now, there may be some of you getting more blessing than the rest of us. Why is that? Simply because you're being more obedient and you're seeking the things of God. But it doesn't mean that God loves you more. And so the bottom line is that we need to make sure they know that. Now, personally, I love the different traits and personalities that are in my girls. They're most certainly different. But what I found is that each one adds a different flavor to the family. And it's almost like all the parts come together to make it complete. You know, Adiah is the one that delegates what everybody's to do. Liel acts it out so we can all see it visually. Tali's planning the next meal and dessert. And Abby's checking everything off on a clipboard. I mean, that's just their personalities. And it makes her a complete family. But you know what? There's some of those traits, and actually there's not really any of those traits that draw me more than another. But let's say there was. I would need to guard myself to make sure that, hey, I really like the way she does. There's nothing wrong in enjoying our children. But make sure that it doesn't turn into a favoritism thing because it can cause great problems. And I think that certainly didn't help in this situation at all. Notice verse 29. Now Jacob cooked a stew and Esau came in from the field and he was weary. And again, now Jacob probably learning to cook from being around where mom did some cooking. And again, there's some great male chefs that are out there. And so Jacob had learned how to cook really well. And Esau comes in. He's weary. He's tired. And Esau said to Jacob, please feed me with the same red stew for I'm weary. And therefore, his name was called Edom. Now, again, his name is Esau, but it's interesting. Now he gets a nickname. His name is now known as Edom. And by the way, that's what his descendants will be known by as the Edomites as he gathers this new name. And interestingly, the name Edom here means red. So he was hairy, and now he likes the red stew. So you got this, as we said, big red, but he's got the nickname here of you know, loving the stew, loving, again, the things of the flesh. And the problem is that it passes down to his children. You see, there's something very symbolic here. It's not just that he loved to eat. I mean, I think that, you know I love to eat, and most men do, and I'm sure that women do as well. God has created us that way. It's a very enjoyable thing. But he was known to be a man of the flesh. He was known to be a man who sought after the things of the flesh. And actually, these characteristics are going to carry on to his descendants, and they're going to be known as a nation of the flesh and always fighting against the nation of the spirit, Israel. And so, again, it passes on down. And what's my point in this? We need to be warned as parents. You know, the life that we live now is going to pass on to our descendants. If we're living a life of the flesh, we're going to pass on a life of the flesh to our kids. If we're living a life of the spirit, we're going to pass on a life of the spirit to our kids.
Our time at the table of God's Word has come to a close for today. But what are some things you gained from what you heard? The book of Genesis gets the ball rolling, causing you to think about all kinds of big picture questions, things related to the creation of the world, why God would allow a worldwide flood, and why were the Israelites His chosen people? These are all good things to think about and to dig further in God's Word. But our hope is that what you heard today has helped solidify some things that might have been in question before. God was specific in how He brought things about. None of it was accidental or haphazard. As you listen through this series, we trust that you'll come to some great realizations about who God is and what He's done and is doing. To listen to this message again or share with a friend, go to thewaymedia.net. Once again, that's thewaymedia.net. Simply click on the Come to the Table tab. If you have some questions about what you heard today, we'd love to pray for you or answer any questions you may have. So reach out to us through the questions and comments link on our website or call us at 865-609-1385. That's 865-609-1385. Please don't hesitate to reach out. We encourage you to stay grounded in God's Word, allowing Jesus to grow you and draw you closer to Him daily, being willing to go where He's guiding you. Pastor Mark has prepared another teaching here in the book of Genesis, so join us again the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.